Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you Me'eretz HaKedesh, is daf Pei Hei. P'tach Picha Ve'amal'eyu. So we're up to the Halak of Mishnah, and we were just about to begin with Richie waiting and all excited, and then unfortunately was left waiting for this Mishnah here. Konim She'eni or She'eni, same idea as we've seen many times before. Let's have the Ron's Girsa. Konim shani osa. Api Abba, api Avicha, api Achai, Achi, api Achicha. So suppose she asers the Maisi Yadayim. Remember that every woman has particular Maisi Yadayim, which we learned in Ketuvot, which we spoke about how much she's expected to be able to work towards the Tzorche Habayit. We spoke there about certain minimums, including Chamisha Slaim, of creating threads in Yehuda, and so on and so forth. This, of course, depended on how many of the Shvachot she was machnes with her, so she doesn't have to do the laundry if she brings a washing machine into it. She doesn't have to do the dishes if she brings a dishwasher, and so on and so forth, right? So that's obvious. But the question over here is what she is mechuyevet to do. So l'chora, in that she is mishu'ubedet. If she's mishu'ubedet, so then she cannot aser something that isn't really up to her on anybody else, right? So this is a problem. But what she is saying over here, that the things that I make with my hands, those things I am asering with a konam, for my father to be nene from, or for your father to be nene from, or for my brother, your brother, that's not in his level of ownership. So he...
Bailiwick.
No. So that's not within the area in which he has a right to be mayfair. So therefore, it can't be made fair anyway, because it's not Dvarim Shebino Levina, and it's not Dvarim that affects the relationship, that affects her tsar. What if she said, Konim Shani Oseh Al Picha, you can't be nene from anything that I make? Well, that, he doesn't even need to be made fair, because basically, since she is already Meshu Ubeda to do those things, so how could she possibly aser him on his own things? What's the point? Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to worry about that. Because remember, the only things that the Torah grants him, or that the Ksuva grants him, are those things that the Mishnah defined. How about if she makes more than that? That's called Ha'adafa. So if there's a Ha'adafa, then it's hers. In which case, Shemata Adifalav Yoter Minaro Uilo. So if she makes more than she was Mechuyevet to make, that belongs to her, and therefore he better be made for it, because he's going to end up being Nichshol in those Nedarim. I mean, this, of course, is a little bit problematic. How can he be made for something that he doesn't have a right to? It's really weird. Mamonavshach. I mean, if it's his, so then she can't answer it. If it's not his, so how can he be made for it? So obviously the basis of that furrow would have to be in the way that it affects their relationship. And the question is, how precisely would it affect their relationship? Okay, the different Rishonim talk about it. Tosus points out that Lamaisa, for him to properly live in a house in which exactly what it is that comes to him and what comes to her is going to be an issue, that's sort of the end of a marriage. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know. But because we made a deal that every other day I take out the garbage, you know. Now, wait a minute. I took out two garbages yesterday. No, but I took out three garbages last week. And anyway, the end is they end up killing each other. I mean, there's no way to live like that. So therefore, says Tosfos, by definition, it's going to be a dover beino leveina, because there's no way that you could possibly split it without killing each other. So that means that what? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that Rabbi Akiva holds that the ha'adafa belongs to her. And the only reason that you should be mefer is because it would be a dover shebeino leveina. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer. So what is it that over here, before we get to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, so what does the Tanakama hold? The Tanakama holds that the the Ha'adafa anyway belongs to the Baal. In other words, there may be no chiyuv to make it, but if she does make it, to whom does it belong? It belongs to the Baal. Now, remember that we spoke about this in Ksuvos, that the idea over there of the Ha'adafa is talking about Ha'adafa that she makes by putting in a lot of extra work. And that therefore, since it was made shelo kederach, the norms of the work, that's where Rabbi Akiva holds it belongs to her. Okay, but whichever Ha'adafa we're talking about, the point is that the Tanakama holds, it's all very nice to say she's not mechuyevet, but the takona of the Rabbana, remember that the whole idea of the Ksuva is that she gets the support from him, and in exchange, she gives him whatever she makes. So remember that we worked that out, that there's two different levels. There is the normal schar of what it is that her salary or what it is that she's working. And then we also have the extra idea of the ma'ar kesef, which is her allowance. So we're just talking about where the ma'ar kesef, is the takona kineged the ha'adafa. So in the event that he's not giving her the ma'ar kesef, let's say, we'll talk more about this later. But remember, we have to take that into consideration. So when we say that it belongs to him, if you haven't given her the ma'ar kesef, let's say she has a right to keep it. But let's think about, what does that mean she has a right to keep it? She has a right to keep it and spend it? Because remember that income that comes from elsewhere, even though it's hers, the Baal has the right to the payros of that income. So what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to invest it. And then the investment remains hers, such that you buy property with it. The investment, the property per se, remains hers. The income is his. So we need to take that in consideration as well as we go along. So what we're talking about over here is a pretty complex question of what actually belongs to him. So it seems clear that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's possible to aser the Ha'adafa because on some level it's hers. And according to Tanakama, she has no rights to it. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, well, it's partially true and partially not true. The fact that it belongs to him, I agree with you, Tanakama, definitely agrees, belongs to him. But what happens if he's going to divorce her? So if he divorces her, at that point, it should become usher. And if it becomes usher, now how is he going to remarry her and be able to have a marriage in which he cannot be nene from anything that she does? That's ridiculous. And therefore, it's kedai to be made for it now because of what's going to be possibly happening later. So I agree that in practical terms, I agree with Rabbi Akiva that it should be made for. As far as why, I disagree with Rabbi Akiva totally. He shouldn't be Mefer. It doesn't belong to her, but it might belong to her. So again, this is a masterful Mishnah in which so many issues are interrelated, including the issue of Adam Magdish Dover Shaloba Liyalam, including the issue of the payros versus the actual ownership, including the entire machlokas about what the nature of ownership on Ha'adafa is, including the question of whether a neder can go into effect at a later date by making it now, including the issue of can you be made for now a neder that's only going to go into effect later. These were all issues. Each and every one of them was a complex issue by itself. Rebbe has managed to put them all together into this Mishnah and leave us totally confused as to what precisely are the points that we have the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So now as we go through the Gemara, we're going to discover how really the main issues are lying under the surface. So Shmuel says, look, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you have to be made for this neder, and that's because, as he says, maybe she doesn't owe it now. And in that, I agree with the Tanakama that it belongs to the Baal. But as soon as he's megarish her, so then he's going to become usher to her. And if that's the case, he is not going to be able to remarry her. But wait a minute. You're saying that when she makes the neder, now it's not going to be chal because she doesn't own it. Because you agree with the Tanakama. But what happens when 20 years later, he's megarish her? So now the neder is chal by virtue of what? She didn't own what it is that she's asering when she made the neder. Can she make a neder to aser something that does not yet exist? Remember, the idea of a davar shelo bal olam has two meanings. It's a davar shelo bal olam physically, or, and it's a davar that you have no rights to, and therefore vis-a-vis you yourself is a davar shelo bal olam. That's completely different issues. Remember, we had that case. Somebody wants to marry a woman who is currently not Jewish. So he says to her, when you become a Gioret, I'm giving you this, when you become a Gioret, at that point, you will be my wife. Okay, that's, she exists, but her status vis-a-vis the Kedushin is a davar shelo bal olam. Now, the same thing is true over here. In this case, she doesn't own it. You're saying, but 20 years later, she will own it. So she's ossering now something she will own 20 years in the future? How does that work? Now, look at this, Yitzi and Ariel. Look how much hashpa you have. Baruch Avram and the whole family have the same joy of looking at the screen as you. So at least Zoom put you onto the same line. Fine. So this is our first question, because if Shmuel is paskening like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he's saying, be made for the neder now because it will be chal 20 years from now, when she does own this, so he's telling me that I hold that Adam Magdish davar shelo bala olam, because it does not yet exist, right? Vramini, but the problem is that Shmuel himself does not hold that, I mean, for at least we can see elsewhere, does not hold that Adam Magdish davar shelo bala olam. Where do we see that? Well, we had, remember, the Mishnah that we discussed about being Magdish. We had this also all the way back in Ksuvis. HaMagdish ma'aseh yedei ishto. So somebody gives to Hegdesh what it is that his wife is going to earn. Well, she hasn't earned it yet, and he's Magdish it. And it says over there that what is the halacha? The halacha is that it makes no difference to her. She could continue to be osa, v'yochelet, and what it is that she makes does not become kodesh. Well, I cannot deny Barnea his special rights this morning. After all, he did gain transparency and is now part of the modern world, absolutely transparent. Thank you, Rabbi Barnea. The truth is it would be much easier if I could have a glass, Barnea. But I can't leave a glass next to the computer, as everybody knows, because that's the end. Within a week, you've poured the entire glass over your keyboard, right? I finally realized there's too many keyboards that I've busted, so I can only drink out of a bottle, which is pretty disgusting. What else can you do? Okay, so therefore, it seems that if it says over here that if she is ossered on her Maisi Adayim, and they become Hegdash. So why is it that she's allowed to continue to do things and so on, and it's no problem? So, okay, this is a big sugya over there, and we said, I mean, this is a side point, right? Because it's a davar shelo bal olam, because she hasn't made it yet. That's what it's davar shelo bal olam. This is a side issue. Why can't he asser it on her if there's no problem with davar shelo bal olam, as we'll see? So over there, the Gemara says that, look, this is dependent in whether there's an opting out option in the ksuva, right? So yechola isha lomar, eini nizonet veini osa. So since at any point she is able to say, listen, forget it. I don't want you to have any rights over my bank accounts. I'll keep it myself. So, okay. So because of that, if he is Magdash her, she wants to, she could say, I don't give a hang about you or Hegdash. I've decided that I hate you anyway. So forget about your crummy Parnassa, and I'll work with my good salary while you sit and wallow in your filth. And I don't care about your neder. Fine. So now, so far, this has nothing to do with Shmuel. Rabbi Meir says, what about the motar? So what if she is making more than what she is mechuyev to make in terms of the ketuvah? So let's say Yosef, Michamesh, Soleim, and Yehuda, and so whatever those shirim were. So Rebbe Meir says, now, wait a minute, that actually becomes Hegdash. Okay, so now this is, we're talking about over here, we said in Ksuvos, where he does not give her the Ma'or Kesev. Remember, Ma'or Kesev is her weekly allowance, right? And if he doesn't give it to her, so then that means that she has a right to keep it. And when we say she has a right to keep it, that only means that she has a right to keep the guf. The income, it's supposed to be invested, and the income belongs to him, but not the actual guf. So therefore, what is it? When we say it's Hegdash, what is Hegdash? I mean, it's not that the thing itself is owned by him. So what Rebbe Meir is actually saying, according to the Gemara in Ksuvos, I warned you that there's an awful lot of issues hidden between the lines here. So the question of Ma'or Kesev vis-a-vis Tosefet, and the question of the Kinyan Haguf versus the Kinyan of the Peirot, and the question at what point it would be that there would be any problem of Hegdash on this, is all hidden under the surface. So it turns out that that Mishnah was quite complex, the issue over there in Ksuvos, and we were talking about after she dies, and he's going to be Yorisher. So over there, the question is it Hegdash at that point? So Rebbe Meir says, yes, it is Hegdash at that point, because whatever ended up being invested, he now gets, because he's Yorisher from her. And which means that what? That according to Rabbi Meir, Adam Magdish Dover Shalo Bala Ola. On every level, he had no right to it right yet in terms of the guf. It hasn't been done yet. Nonetheless, it becomes Hegdash. Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler Omer, well, no, you can't be Magdish something that doesn't exist. So therefore, there's no problem. Chulin. And Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, not to be confused with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, right? So how can he say that over here the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that I have to be made for the neder because the neder will be chal when they get divorced, which means that Adam is makdish davar shelo b'olam, and over there he says, no, the makhluk, over there we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, that there's no neder because it's a davar shelo b'olam. Rabbi Yisai. This is a contradiction in Shmuel, says the Gemara. Are you going to explain that? Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, now, wait a minute. When you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, okay, maybe you don't mean the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri across the board. There were two elements in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, right? One was the question of who owns the ha'adafa. The other is the question of, do I need to be mefer? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying, you need to be mefer. Why do you need to be mefer? Because the ha'adafa actually does belong to her. And the thing is that even though currently there's no way for her to aser it, but when they would get divorced, then it would automatically be chal. And at that point, sorry, I meant belongs to him. But the question is, do you need hafara? Because eventually they may get divorced. So maybe when Shmuel said, the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he didn't mean the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that you have to be made for the neder because maybe you get divorced. He meant the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the issue that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is arguing about with Rabbi Akiva. Namely, does he own the hadafa or does she own the hadafa? But he didn't mean to paskin that you need to do hafara, because if you need to do hafara, it would mean that she can be magdish now, the 20-year later production after her divorce. And that Shmuel wasn't saying, because obviously Shmuel doesn't hold to that because he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. No. Of course that isn't what he means, for heaven's sakes. How could that be what he means? If that would be what he means, first of all, don't you think he should have made it clear? He should have said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in terms of ha'adafa. That's the simplest thing he could have said, right? So, lema halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ha'adafa. And even that's crazy. I mean, he has a much better thing to say. He could have said that the halacha is like the Tanakama, which is true. I mean, he's saying the halacha is, the Tanakama holds it belongs to him, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds it belongs to him. Now you're getting into a big problem over here by saying the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which is going to confuse people into thinking that you need to be mefer. So just say the halakha is like the Tanakama. Or, even better, you could say the halakha is totally not like Rabbi Akiva. Not in terms of requiring a hafara, and not in terms of who owns the hadafa. But the stupidest thing to say would be that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which is certainly not the case. So don't try to give me that. We have a contradiction in Shmuel. Now you're going to have to explain it a lot better than saying he never meant to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Sorry.
Last time Rabbi preferred the other girsa.
Your memory is too long for my health.
It's only because it's written. That's not what works.
That's it. I hear. I thought that every time we go through, it's another one of the 13 options. If we're not going to learn it like that, we may run out of options, right? We've only done this like 4 or 5 times. But you don't want to shorten our options, do you? So it's best to keep things open.
I'm with Rebbe. Just for those who weren't in previous cycles, may say there is another girsa, but I'm going this way this time. Then they know.
I usually do. You must admit, I'm usually pretty good. I say, okay. I usually announce, look, there's another way, but we'll use this girsa. All right. Thank
Rebbe you. Likes the Kaddish Bach.
Thank you for the ha'ar. Okay. Anyway, so what is the answer? Ela Amar of Yosef, I'm going to give you an answer to the Stira in Shmuel. And it's a brilliant answer. Why are you comparing Adam Magdish Dover Shalobala Olam to our case? In fact, what are we dealing with? Konamot. I mean, ask yourself, Rabosai, please. Konamot are really like Hegdesh? The basis of Konamot is Nidre Hegdesh. That's true. But could I take your behema and make it Hegdesh? Of course not. But can I take your behemoth and make it usur on me with a konam? Yes. How could I do that? So therefore, it's clear that in the same way that I can make something that isn't mine usur, I can make something that isn't yet here usur. I mean, it adds up. I don't need, because remember, the idea of a dover shelo bal olam is not necessarily it doesn't exist. It's that it's not under my control. Like the case of the woman who is not yet Jewish. So she's not shaykh to be Mekadesh Anisha. That's not Jewish. But nonetheless, if you hold a Magdish Dover Shalob Olam, you can give her the Kedushin now to be Chal later on. Or if she's married to someone else, after you get divorced, you'll be married to me. Those kind of cases which we had there. So if you're telling me that it's possible to be Asering with a Konam on me, something that belongs to you, then that would also mean I can asser something that doesn't exist. It's basically the same thing. So I can asser something that doesn't exist. What's your problem? There's no contradiction. Shmuel over there was literally talking about a case where the husband went ahead and was magdish. Ain't not a magdish davar shel ba'olam. Our Mishnah is talking about where the woman wasn't magdisha. She made it asser bekonam. Konam is not subject to the regulations of it needs to be under your control or it needs to exist. Perfect teretz. Ha! So, shine konamot, ho'il v'adam oser perot chaviro alav, oser nami davar shelo la'olam alav. Man, I've heard sophistry in my life, but this is like the ultimate. Good Lord! I mean, for heaven's sakes, you're talking about ossering something on yourself. Now, do you have the rights to say what's going to be usher on you? Yes. So are you a davar shelo bala olam, so to speak, in terms of making the neder? Yes. So now what do you want to do? So you want to say that since you could usher yourself, which is ba'olam, on a davar shelo bala olam, therefore you should be able to usher the other person who is not ba'olam, because it's not under your control, on something that is not ba'olam. That's what you're doing. That's absurd. So, as a matter of fact, the very point that you're making is a proof against the outcome of your point. Because if you seriously mean to compare the din over here of the davar shelo bala olam to the idea of konamot, in which it's clear that you could ask yourself on something, so then prove to yourself that since you cannot answer somebody else's things on him, Well, you can't answer somebody else's things on a third party. Why not? Why not? After all, it's Konamot and Adamosadosh Balalam. Because you'd look at me like I was crazy. What, are you nuts? How can you answer somebody else's things on him? He's not under your control. Precisely. That's the whole point. And therefore, over here, this is precisely what we're doing, right? We're taking a Dover Shalom Bala Olam, and I'm going to answer it on someone else, not on myself. So that's the same? Yes, Ariyota Moshe Peiro Tav Al Chaveiro. One or the other is Ba'olam. Either your own Peiros or Ba'olam, you can answer them to another person. Or you can answer yourself, who is Li'olam, but you can answer even on something that's not under your control. But you would never allow anybody to claim that, well, if that's the case, you should be able to answer someone else's Peiros on himself or on a third party. That's absurd, right? Your very case is a proof against your conclusion. Over here, what it is that she's going to be making 20 years from now is a loba la'olam. And she wants to answer it on you, which is loba la'olam in terms of her. So she has absolutely no empowerment whatsoever to make a netter like that unless you hold Adam is Magdash Dover Shaloba Olam. So we're back to the contradiction. Shmuel himself paskin, in Adam Osir Dover Shaloba Olam, in Adam Magdash Dover Shaloba Olam, and here he's saying Adam Osir Bekonam Dover Shaloba Olam, which you can't answer by claiming the difference between Konamot and Hekdash. So throw that out. Okay, so what are we going to do about the contradiction? Shmuel, on the one hand, paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and on the other hand, Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar. In one case, he's saying that the neder would be chal 20 years in the future, even though it's lo bala olam. And in the other case, he's saying, no, there's no problem, because ain't adam akdash davash lo bala olam. I don't see any answer. Okay, comes along with Hunan Bereder Yeshua, and he says, now listen, we've had this discussion before, and we already understand that the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that she can asser what it is that she is going to make, is not talking about she's assering what she makes. She's assering her hands. So she's saying, my hands are asser on you. Well, she can't do that because she's Meshubet et lo. Okay, but if she gets divorced, what's going to happen then? So then anything that her hands make are going to be osur b'hana'a to her husband. Now he wants to remarry her. He's not going to be able to remarry her. So therefore, in terms of beino levena, he should be able to go ahead and be made for the neder. That's all that Shmuel was saying. Since this will prevent our remarriage in the case of divorce, so it's better to go ahead and to be made for. So where did he see? He wasn't even talking about a davar shelo bala olam. He was talking about the chalos on the yadayim. That's the point. Because yadayim, her hands exist now, right? Ha'itnu ba'olam. So making them a konam is going to be a problem for him later. And we said whatever's going to be a problem for him later is part of beino levena because it affects the nature of their relationship. So therefore, he should be able to be made for now. And remember that we goofa brought this as a raya earlier. Remember we had the whole discussion in the Gemara? We said, you see, it says over here you can be made for a neder, it's considered to be beino levena, and that would work for after gerushin. This Mishnah was actually the source text for that entire concept. But wait a sec. I don't understand. Her hands don't belong to her. So how could she possibly ask her? Saying, it's a davar shebala olam. The hands might exist, but the control of the hands doesn't exist because she is misha ubedet, v'ha misha abdan yadeh alabal. I thought, isn't that a problem? If he has the rights to what it is that those hands are going to be making, so let's say that you're going to be able to ask her the hands when they're yours. I understand that. But here she's saying, she didn't say, when I get divorced. She just said, my hands are usher. You cannot compare this to a case where somebody says to a woman, when you become a geyoret, at that point, the condition should be chal. Because then the kinyan was only being made for then. But when she said that yikachai yadai la'osehem, she was talking about now. She didn't say later. She said now. If the netter can't be chal now, so just milim bi'alma doesn't mean a darn thing. Who cares what she says? I mean, to say that something that cannot be chal now will be chal later, 20 years from now, based on what? The statement that she made now was not addressing the later. It was just an outcome of the later, if it's chal now. So that doesn't make any sense. At this point, her hands don't belong to her. So she can't make that netter. And she didn't say it should be chal later on when I become Jewish, so to speak. Later on when I get divorced from you. Answers them, okay, so she did say, all right. I mean, what, we have to give you every detail. I mean, it's obvious that if we're talking about a case where the netter is going to be chal later on, so it means that she said, beferish, the lechime garsha. So when we get divorced, I want this to be usher. That's why it says, okay, so then it's better to be made for the netter now. And from there, we learn that it would be chal. Therefore, beno levena, because of the impact that it will make on their ability to remarry. And that ability is part of their relationship. And therefore, he's able to go ahead and to be mefer and should be mefer. That's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. So everything is fine. If she said that beferish, wait, right now, hashtamia lo migarsha. Hold on a second. Yeah, what you've done is very sneaky. First, you got out of the issue, Dr. Barry. Sleep so tight. What a night. There we are. Okay. So what you've done is you started talking about the problem of Adam Magdish Dover Ba'olam, Lo Magdish Dover Shal Ba'olam. Then you started talking about Konoma, so they're different than Hekdeshas. And then you started talking about a case in which it will be Le'olam, and therefore we have no problem. But if it's still a Dover Shal Ba'olam, currently, right? So, yes, it's very true. What you're saying is very true if you hold Adam Magdish Dava Shaloba Le'olam. Because what she's saying now, fine, is that when I will own something, so then I'm ossering it now. But how do we know? Mimaydechi Amra Achi Mahanya. What makes it, if you hold Adam Magdish Dava Shaloba Le'olam, yes. But if you hold another Magdish Dover Shaloba Olam, what is she being Magdish now? She's being Magdish hands? Those hands are not her hands. And therefore, to say that the case is that right now it's considered her to be Ba'olam because of the fact that she said it should be Chal then, that's not true. The hands are Ba'olam, but the fact is she can't make the netter now. She doesn't have any kayach over her hands. In the case we were talking about over there where he says, when you become Jewish, you should become Mekudeshet. Over there, he has the power of being Mekadesh. She is not yet an object that is capable of Kedushin. Fine, so he's saying that when that object comes into existence, so to speak, and you become Jewish, so then it should be Chal because I have the rights now to do that. So I am doing what I can do to a Dover Shaloh Ba'al Olam. But over here, she doesn't have anything. She doesn't own these yadayim now. She can't make anything about these yadayim. So how, therefore, could she say, when I will end up gaining control over my yadayim, then those yadayim should be mekudashot? That's only if you're allowed to make this davar shelo bala olam. But I thought we were trying to avoid that issue, no? So hashta miyas lo megarsha. So then if she's trying to be magdish something later, how can she do it? Therefore, we still have not gotten to the bottom of this. Now, to be able to work out the various issues that are involved in the precise conditions of when something is considered to be a Dover Shabbat Le'olam and when it's considered to be a Dover Shalom Ba'al Olam,